chapter 1. Verse 18 is where we're going to start. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. They were dreaming, some of them, they said, of a white Christmas. They've got it. With the cold temperatures the way they're supposed to be, that stuff isn't going away too fast. Now, I'm always dreaming of a green Christmas, as I much prefer the pine thickets of East Texas as opposed to any snow. But we're not in East Texas. There is no pine thickets here, or not many, and there's a lot of snow. I do not like snow. How many like snow? All the unsaved people. Right. I hate snow. I'm sorry, Lord. I love snow. I know it's from you, but why anybody would like snow? I don't know. It was mostly children who raised their hands, you noticed. Those who don't have to get out and do anything in it. Except ride a sled or something. All right, if you have Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, let's stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word, please, just for a few moments. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. I'm going to read to you. Our text verse will be verse 21 this morning. So Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Verses 18 through 21. The Bible says this, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And notice verse 21, our text verse this morning, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this morning I'm going to talk to you about, I'm dreaming of a right Christmas, not white, but right. R-I-G-H-T. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you bless this sermon this morning, bless the folks that have come now, and bless this time of year, Father. We want to have a right Christmas for each and every person here, Father. Please, in Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. And our text verse once again, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Many people would answer this question differently. And of course, what does Christmas mean to you would be the question we'd throw out there. I mean, to some people, it means hard work. Amen. The stores, especially if they work at a store, amen. The stores are crowded, full of shoppers. Maybe somebody works at the post office. That's a crowded time of year, I suppose. In fact, the post office, man, they're about going out of business, I think, aren't they? Except this time of year, everybody mails Christmas cards, you know, and they probably love this time of year, but it gives them something to do down there. But it's a busy time of year. Postmen busy carrying packages. Delivery men busy carrying packages to people's homes. All the modes of transportation busy. Trains probably, buses, planes, so forth. Record crowds on those things. Going to different parts of the country and even different parts of the world sometimes for families to get together. So to some people, it means different things. Hard work and busyness for some. To others, it means a visit home. Best time of year to be with loved ones is around the Christmas time holidays. To some people, it may be a sad memory. Maybe in a sad memory. Sad memory. And they look back over the year and they think the loved one who has maybe left them since last Christmas, had a spouse die perhaps, or even a child perhaps, or a parent, something along those lines. It may be a sad memory because they're not there this year for the first time. It could be, and it could be difficult. To some people, Christmas might mean drinking. Talk about Christmas liquor, and they connect their whiskey and whatnot else to the blessed name of our Savior. But to millions of people, Christmas means nothing. It means nothing. They do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. December 25th is just another day on the calendar to them. Just another day on the calendar. And it means nothing to them. But to the real Christian, Christmas can mean everything. It means that God loves him with all his heart. It means that God has regarded their lost condition, has done something about it by sending the Son. By the way, why did he come? Amen. He came to die. Amen. That's what he came for. So he came to be born so he could die one day to pay for our sins. And that's just what he did. And so, he's done something about our condition for us by sending a Savior. It means that God has given him the best Christmas gift that could be given. And that was the Savior that is born. Amen. Born as an example in his life for us. Born to die for our sins. Born to be raised for man's justification, born to ascend on high and make intercession for man, born to give him hope of the fact of his coming again, as the Bible says, he is coming again. Now, if we're to have a right Christmas this morning, there's certain things that must be placed in that Christmas. And so what we're going to do, we're going to follow the gospel story this morning and see what a right Christmas includes, amen? And I'm going to give you four things. Number one, a right Christmas includes making room for Jesus. A right Christmas includes making room for Jesus. Amen. When Mary and Joseph went to the innkeeper, they had no room for them. Now, you may say, well, they didn't know who he was. They would have made room. I'm sure they would have if they knew who he was. But they didn't have any room for him. They didn't make room for him. They didn't have any room for him. So no place, no room for the Savior. No room, they said to them. We have no room for you. Oh, he was the man that missed Christmas altogether, that innkeeper was, wasn't he? He missed its meaning. He missed everything that it stood for. He had many guests in his hotel, but they would soon be forgotten after the night was gone, and they traveled on, and a new crowd came in the next night. If he had let Jesus be born there, it might have changed his hotel and his entire life forever if he would have let that happen. So today, if one says, I have no room for Jesus, if your heart and your life are filled with other things and you miss everything that's good, wouldn't it be good for Christmas for you to throw out all of the other things that are taking up all the room that's leaving no room for Jesus? Wouldn't that be a good thing to do this morning? You've got things in your life that are in the way, and you don't have room for Jesus like you should because these things are in the way. Getting rid of these things may mean a lot. It may mean that, and not only the sins of the flesh, but perhaps the sins of disposition. So what's that mean? Maybe you're envious of someone. Maybe you dislike, maybe you're jealous of somebody. Maybe you dislike somebody. Maybe you say, boy, I hate that person. You need to get rid of that unforgiving spirit that you may have towards someone else. What a wonderful experience you can have this morning if you would cast out every ill feeling that you have towards someone else. So if you could get rid of some of the sinful, fleshly things in your life that are making it so you don't have room for Jesus, that would be wonderful. Then if you could get rid of the sins of disposition in your life that's keeping you from having as much room for Jesus as you should have, then that would be wonderful also. See, the thing is, we've got to make provisions to have room for Jesus. The innkeeper didn't make any provisions for Jesus. He didn't make any room for Jesus. It could have changed his whole life. Imagine what that innkeeper missed out on. So much, because there was no room for Jesus at the end. No room for Jesus. We must make room for Jesus. The captain one time of a whaling boat decided to go to church one Sunday when he was in port. The preacher talked to him later and realized that the sermon that had been preached that morning had had absolutely zero effect on him. In fact, while he talked to the whaling boat captain, the captain told him, he said, "To tell you the truth, sir, all the time while you were talking this morning, all I could think about was where I was going to find my next great whale to get." Is this true for you this morning? When you come, all you hear is other things, and all you think about is other things, and you don't even hear what's being said when you come to church. Is that what it is for you? You have no room for Jesus? Is that how it is? Is your heart so full of other things that there's no room for Him? There's no room for the things of Jesus. There's no room for Jesus Himself. I hope that's not you this morning. If you want to make it a right Christmas, you need to do this. You need to make room for Jesus this morning. Number two, a right Christmas includes worship. A right Christmas includes worship. When Jesus was born, amen, a miracle took place. I mean, a miracle of nature that's never happened before took place. The heavens opened up. An angel came down to speak to a group of shepherds on a hill. And he said these words, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You will find wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." The shepherds got their stuff together and went to town. They looked and they found Jesus in town. They worshiped Jesus when they found Him. If we are to have a right Christmas, we must come to a place where we worship Him also. Amen. Has worship any place in your life? Worship for Jesus. Has it any place in your life? It needs to. Amen. You need to have a place for Jesus. You need to have room for Him. You need to have worship for Him. You need to have that. Too many people, they've lost the art of worship in many Christians. Too many people have lost it. They don't have time to stop. They don't have time to look into the heavens. They don't have time to think about Him. They don't have time to worship Him. They don't have time to spend on Him. They're too busy all the time. They never leave any room for Him. They never leave any worship for Him. They never enter into God's house. They say they can worship God just as well on the outside. That's what they say, but they never do it. They just say that. That's a cliche. They never worship Him anywhere is the truth. And this isn't a worship service, by the way, this morning. This is a preaching service. However, the worshiping takes place during the invitation time when you have an opportunity to pray. Amen. You kneel down. You pray. You have a chance to go to God. You can worship Him at your house, yes, but do you ever kneel by your bed and pray to Him? Do you ever get to a place where you're coming to Him, where you're worshiping Him? Worship is done at the old-fashioned prayer altar, amen? Whether at your home in your prayer closet or somewhere, even at the foot of your couch and at the church house and everywhere else where you can make yourself a prayer altar, that's where the worshiping's done. You can make one anywhere, but do you even make one at all? Do you even make one at all? Do you even consult Him in any of the decisions that you make in your life? You don't give Him the right worship that He deserves. We make major decisions sometimes and never consult Him. We make major financial decisions. We make major purchase decisions about what we're going to do or what we're going to get rid of in our lives. And we don't spend any time praying or worshiping. We just react on our feelings at the moment of how we want to do it and what we're going to do. And you're not leaving any worship for Jesus. You're not really worshiping Him. You're leaving Him out of the equation. You're not leaving any room for Him, and you're not giving Him any worship. Part of worshiping is making room for Him and then having some worship for Him, a time of prayer for Him where you talk to Him actually and you spend time praising Him, amen. That's worship. That's worship. We need to get back to worship, amen. They had worship for Him. Number three, a right Christmas not only includes making room for Jesus and worship for Jesus, but number three, a right Christmas includes the grace of giving. It includes the grace of giving. What do we see with the Christmas story? We see, well, they say three wise men. We don't know that it was three wise men. We know they had three gifts. But we see the wise men coming. We see them coming from the east, from afar. We would have to assume from the Orient area, from the east to that direction. But coming, they're bringing something. They're bringing their gifts to the Savior. What did they see? They saw a star. What did they do? They followed it. How long do they follow it? For a number of years, the Bible would indicate. They were not there when the shepherds were. But rather, the child was probably about 2 years old when they finally saw him. By the time of his birth, a star appeared. And they had followed that star, understanding the things of astrology things and so forth, following that star that they had been given as a sign, and they followed it all the way to the place where it would lead them to where the Christ child was. They brought with them gifts. As they found the child, they brought and presented their gifts to the Savior. What were those gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Each gift was a gift of value. Value, amen. We know more today about Jesus than they did. They don't have all the advantages we have. We got the book, and it says at the end, amen. So we got the whole story written out right there. They were still living it out. They didn't have all of that. All they knew was the little bits and pieces they'd been given, but they knew this, that they needed to come to find this king, and they needed to bring him some gifts of value. And that's just what they did. They brought him some gifts of value. Are you giving to him? So what would I give to him? Well, there's three gifts you can give him as well. It's called time. It's called talent. It's called treasure. Time, talent, treasure. That's what we can give him as three gifts. Time, talent, and treasure. Everybody's got 168 hours a week. Are you giving him any of your time? Amen. Everybody's got talent to some degree. Some more than others, some in different areas than others. But are you using your talents for him? Are you giving any of your talent for him? Are you giving it to him at all? He wants to use it for his work and for his cause. But are you giving him any of that gift? And treasure, say, well, I'm not a wealthy person. Hey, one of the biggest givers in the Bible was the woman that gave two mites. It wasn't much, but it was what she had to give. Are you giving anything to him? Do you keep it all for yourself? And use the excuse, well, I'm not a wealthy person. It's not the size of the gift, it's the amount of what you have that you give. Everyone's commanded to give 10%, a tithe. That's what the Bible says. A tithe's 10%. Everybody's commanded to give that. Are you giving anything to him? I personally think you ought to tithe off your time also. You ought to be giving him your time, a tithe off of that. He deserves those gifts. Is he not worthy of it to you? He died for you. He went to the cross for you. The matter of giving reached the climax on that cross. I mean, you look at Jesus as he dies. What was he doing? He was giving. He was giving to us. He was giving, amen. Why was he giving? So we could have redemption. So we could be bought back, amen. So we could be saved, amen. He was giving that we might have salvation, because we are sinners that deserve a sinner's hell. But he died for us. And all we have to do is accept him as our Savior to get that gift. He was giving. He was giving. Even in his last time on the cross, he was looking at giving to others and caring for others and concerned about others. He was concerned about his own mother. He told John to take his mother home and take care of her. That's what he was saying. Behold thy mother. He wanted to have her taken care of. He was in his dying moments, and he was giving to someone else all the way to the end. Are you giving to him? And number four this morning, the right Christmas includes the matter of telling others about him, telling others about Jesus. For our picture here, we look up and we can listen to an angel, amen, for many years. Men had looked for the Messiah. Now the angel comes, and who's he announced it to first? The shepherds, right? The shepherds. He announces that the Savior's been born. So the long waiting is over. The angel has brought the sweetest message that the world has ever heard. In In fact, the world has never been the same since, folks. But today, men are still in the darkness of sin. Today, they're still in the darkness of sin. I wonder why. Men are still looking for something that will satisfy them. Men are still looking for something that will give them peace and joy. Men are still looking for something that will provide for them these things that they crave. However, we know what they need because we have found the remedy ourselves, and it was found in none other than Jesus Christ. We need to care for them. We need to be concerned for them. We need to tell others about them. It's important, folks. It's important. It's important. We've got to get out there. We've got to get busy telling folks about Jesus Christ. It's Christmas time. That's the best time to tell them, amen? It's the best time to tell them. It's at Christmas time about Jesus, amen? That's what they need. They need Jesus, amen? A certain senator in Washington many years ago invited the ambassador from Belgium to come to his home for dinner. Now, the senator's father was an old Christian. He was an old man. Grand old Christian he was. He was always looking for a way to win people to Jesus Christ. So the senator warned his father about being careful about what he said to the ambassador. He was concerned about it. When the ambassador came, he was welcomed by some great pomp and ceremony type of a thing that they had function there to introduce and bring him in. But the old man came down the stairs, the father of the senator, and introduced himself to the ambassador. And immediately he asked the ambassador if he was a Christian and knew he was going to go to heaven when he died. The senator was greatly embarrassed and tried to excuse away his father. The ambassador was courteous to his father. But some months later, the old man died. And when the old man died, since he was a senator's father, many, many flowers were sent. And there was one big wreath that stuck out from all the rest. It was bigger than any other and more grand than any other. And there was a big note attached to it, and it said on it, "In memory of the only man in America who ever cared about my soul." And it was signed from the Belgium ambassador. Signed from him. Folks, we need to care about the souls of men. We need to care about folks. Whether they're going to go to heaven or whether they're going to go to hell, that's important. So, well, it's none of my concern. I don't want to be invasive on anybody. Hey, wait a minute. He commanded us to tell others. How do you think they're going to find out? Folks, he sent the angel down that one time. He ain't sending them down no more. He expected men to tell men, for people to tell people. That's what he was expecting to have happen. To carry forth the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ to others and tell them that Jesus does care about their souls and does want them to go to heaven when they die if they'll just accept him. And that's what we've got to remember. If we want to have a right Christmas this year, amen, not white, but right Christmas, we got to do that, amen. We got to have this matter of telling others about Jesus Christ. Do you care about the souls of men and women and little boys and little girls? Do you care? You got to ask yourself that question. So let us this Christmas time do these four things. Let us make room for Jesus in the hearts and lives of ourselves. Let us bow down and worship him. Let us bring our gifts unto him. And let us tell others about the sweet old story of Jesus and his love for us or for others. And then guess what? Our dreams will come true. People dream of a white Christmas, amen. I dream of a white Christmas because that's a whole lot more important, amen. Our dreams can come true when we do those four things. Let's stand to our feet.